And I want to thank you very much for tuning in this spring season, in which we're springing forward and hopefully going through a spiritual, physical, mental resurrection, you know. So many people this time of year focus on getting new bonnets and new outfits and missing the deeper understanding that it's time to dawn a new aura, a new consciousness. The primary objectives of this broadcast, Signs of Season, are to eliminate, as it says on our site, the fearful and superstitious attitudes. Many people are very, very afraid, misunderstand the science of astrology, sciences of astrology, and related metaphysical teachings. And that's very, very strong words, sad. I've been thinking particularly so over this last year, when I have seen so many things happen on a national and global level that could have been mitigated, that could have turned out different if we paid understanding, understood how to interpret the zodiacal energies that are on, of course, 24/7. And so we need to really, really push ourselves, and those who are open and minded and receptive, to get into that consciousness in which we begin to respect the ancient teachings. And I'm smiling because there are several ethnic groups that are focusing now on returning to our roots, and that's across the board. I know some Native Americans, African Americans. I know brothers and sisters that are in other different parts of the world, who are focusing on returning to what the ancients taught. The thing that we appear to be missing on a global level is the importance of reviving these ancient sciences. And so this, which is one of the reasons why it's so awesome that we began this program in this era, this energy, this cycle of resurrection. And so we want to resurrect the ancient teachings and show how they can be utilized in a real practical way. I don't know if you remember a while back, perhaps our national listeners do, international, where there was a young lady in Africa, pardon me, in Los Angeles, that was raped and mugged, and they found her in some part of Los Angeles, I believe. Young, very, very attractive young lady. And when we looked at the astrology chart, we found out that had her parents or elders understood that that was not the time when she should have been out someplace unprotected, alone, that situation could have more than likely been avoided. And I've been doing these sciences, working with these sciences now for the last 50 plus years, and I see it happening over and over again. And this is a sensitive issue, because there are many incidents that I've seen happen in the last couple of years. There was a major problem with the educational system in Atlanta, Georgia, where the energies in the zone, you see, each place has a chart in dealing with the physics of its personality. And so we saw that the energies in the chart in Atlanta precipitated a close investigation of what was going on as far as the way the educational procedures and funds were being handled. And, of course, that energy was triggered during this particular week, and it exposed there were thousands and thousands of dollars being misappropriated. We had a situation with Troy Davis, bless his soul. It was in his chart, though, that it was not a good time to take his case to court because it had some energy, discordant energies in his birth chart that drew no sympathy from him at that particular time. I looked at the Casey Anthony, I believe that's her name, chart, and we saw where Jupiter and Venus in her birth chart were very fortunate. And so that resulted in what happened with her. I even saw in this young brother, Trayvon, that happened last week, unfortunate the way that situation occurred, but there was some very sharp karmic indication in this chart, which simply means since the stars don't compel, they impel, we say, okay, this is the weather report. It's like we check before we go out to work or plan a picnic or whatever. What is the weather report? And so 24/7 we have a zodiacal energy pattern. Everything is connected. If you're familiar with the string theory, everything is connected. And so if you remember these five words, life is an electromagnetic experience. Everything is tied into that network of energies. And so the purpose of this program is to revive our understanding of how to use these energies in the proper manner. We looked at Dr. King's chart on the day that he was assassinated, April 2nd, I believe, 1968. Same kind of distorted energy field. Again, it doesn't mean that the stars compel, but they impel. And they say no, just as in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a purpose for every season under the heavens. So we need to begin to observe these seasons. And so when I look at the news report and I say, oh, we throw the word justice around so loosely, and this was an injustice, this was not justice, we really don't understand the metaphysics of justice. And the metaphysics of justice tell us that there are underlying laws and principles that we need to study. We live in a balanced universe. It's like when I was in India in 68, when Dr. King got assassinated, I was at Maharishi's ashram, just visiting. I am a disciple of Kirpal Singh in New Delhi. And my guru said, oh, well, it's unfortunate that he had to experience that. But there's karma involved. And so that is a law. It's not something that it's good karma, and there's karma that is challenging. But the universe is in perfect balance. And this is what we want to do with these sciences. We want to show how we can use these teachings in a way that is practical, advantageous, that puts us in sync with the law. You see, when we get in sync with the law, then we know how to use it, to work it, and to rise above it. I want to thank you for tuning in. True Signs and Seasons on our on this first broadcast of ours here. It's very interesting how everything works out the way it should. So today I want you, in this first session, I want to talk to about astrology and the Bible, because we have so much misunderstanding, once again, of how these teachings work, these sciences work. You very rarely hear people say those two words in the same breath, astrology and the Bible. They're usually considered to be incompatible subjects. Usually, the only occasion upon which you hear astrology and the Bible spoken of in the same breath, and that is when some person, uninformed, attempts to show or use the scriptures to condemn the belief in and the practice of astrology. God is God. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. But there is a system in this universe that is focused, functions through electromagnetic energies. Every second, every particle of a second, it comes under a particular energy. So you very seldom, if at all, hear anyone quote scriptures that mention the constructive uses of astrology. And yet there are actually more scriptures that condone astrology than those that are generally used to condemn it. And I might mention here that in the second half of the program, we are going to, after our break, we're going to allow you to call in and give you a profile, mini profile of your energies to demonstrate how these energy systems work. It's not a fortune-telling situation. you have a serious question, you want to find out more about how to put your life on point, why your personality or someone close to you is going through some difficult challenges, or to just understand yourself more, please call at the bottom of the hour. So in the first chapter of Genesis, the 14th verse, the Creator is quoted as saying, "Let there be lights in the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So sign is defined in Webster's dictionary as a symbol, a notice publicly displayed for advertising purposes, or for giving directions or warnings, an omen, a portent. And season, I love words as a writer, season is derived from the word sation. And sation means to scatter or sow abroad. And those who heed the scripture device and use the heavenly lights for signs and for seasons eventually discover that the various positions assumed by the sun, moon, and stars are signs. And these are signs, family members, that give us a clear understanding of what energies, what activities are appropriate. And so, once again, in Ecclesiastes. Incidentally, you know, astrology and reincarnation were a part of the early Catholic Church. Some religious historians claim that several popes of the early church were astrologers. Interestingly. Because the study of astrology was generally forbidden by the Catholic Church. However, in recent years, an encyclic, a waiver, let's say, was published permitting Catholics to study astrology. And so you see, the sowing or scattering abroad of various planetary energies is what causes the various seasons or cycles in our individual and collective experiences. Even in those times that are difficult, if you remember Paramahansa Yogananda, the founder of Self-Realization Fellowship, he said his astrologer told him on some very difficult days when the energies were intense, but because he knew what was going on and how those energies were in place and how long they would be and how to use them to overcome them, knowledge is, of course, power in that regard, because it shows us how we can maneuver through a cycle. We're going to be talking about cycles also, radio broadcasts and how we can use these energies that we're moving through in a more positive way. So you see, the planetary forces don't compel us to act in any particular way. Free will is an eternal reality. You decide it rained, whether you want to put your pot out for water, you want to put your plants out for water, how you deal with it is up to you. Free will is expressed in the constructive use or destructive ways in which we respond to these given energy patterns. Astrology is, the Bible is replete, saturated, permeated with astrological knowledge. 12 tribes, 12 cities, 12 thrones, 12 disciples. These are all references on a symbolical level of the zodiacal energy patterns. The woman in Revelation, the crown of 12 stars, with the foot on the moon, in charge of the zodiacal mechanical phase of the moon. If you will scroll down when you have time, and if you at some point or other look, go into the site, there is an article that we have here on astrology and the Bible, the 12 disciples. We also go into biblical symbolism, and we also will be sharing with you information about 2012, which is a very wonderful period for those people who are awake. So we are going to learn how our free will can be expressed in the constructive uses in which we deal with energy patterns. the exercise of free will, of course, depends upon the degree to which an individual is centered in God and how he or she is empowered spiritually. And we need to remind ourselves that spirituality doesn't necessarily mean that you go because you go to church every week or to the synagogue or the mosque. Spirituality is an internal reality. So once again, in Ecclesiastes 1:13, and I use the Christian Bible because it is so prevalent in the world. It's probably the most misunderstood Bible or holy book, because all holy books are Bibles. There's no such thing as the Bible. The Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Veda, the Upanishads, the Tao, the coming forth by day, they're all holy scriptures. So in the King James Bible, it states that everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And this is determined by the energy pattern into which we move and live and move and have our being. And so wise men, a wise woman, discerns the correct time and season for his or her activities by the position of the heavenly bodies, as we are told in Genesis. And his or her life reflects order and harmony, for his entire or her entire being is in tune with the natural flow of cosmic energies. You see? And so in Genesis 1:14, to use the heavenly lights for signs and for seasons, in the book of Luke, we have great signs. We are warned of the great signs that will appear from heaven in these last days of spiritual darkness. There's no such thing as the last days of the planet. There is no end of the world. There may be, if we keep acting foolish, an end to the Homo sapiens trying to destroy the planet. But there will be no end to the planet. Why? Because the Earth has a vital role in the exchange of electromagnetic energies in our solar system. The Earth grounds vital energies. So we can forget that end of the world stuff. So chapter 21, verse 11 reads, and there will be great earthquakes in different places, and famine and plagues, and there will be alarming signs and great sights and great signs. And the winters will be severe. Okay. And there will be great signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, distress of the nations. So a reasonable question that you might want to ask that might arise in the minds of any intelligent person, what are these signs in the sun, moon, and stars? How can we read them? What method or technique can we use to accomplish this task? And I want to inject right here that one of the reasons why there was so much taboo on the churches, particularly in, and I was raised Catholic and now understand it from a metaphysical point of view, is because control. The church wanted you to go in and confess your sins and take control of our lives. These sciences make us independent. To a large degree, of course, there's nothing is real about independent. We're all interdependent. But we can experience a much higher degree of independence once we understand these sciences. So then the question again, what system can we use to read and interpret the heavenly bodies? Astronomy. Wonderful science. But as to this day, it has not given us any clues as to how we can recognize the great signs, except for wonderful, brilliant men like Einstein, who was a great friend, you know, of Gandhi, very much into the higher metaphysical teachings. And so the great earthquakes and volcanoes and famines and plagues, the science has not helped us understand these yet. Neither has the church, with this multitude of spiritually inspired pastors, according to their gospel, told us how to read the signs of these chaotic times in heavens. And we are not by any chance condemning religion or the churches or the need for religious institutions that are really dealing with spirituality and religion, as the word religion means to bind back. And so religious leaders who are helping us to understand these teachings from a deeper level, please, we want more and more to step forward. But unfortunately, religion, for the most part, so-called religion, is being used to control. So these teachings help us to get a deeper understanding and awaken our own intuition. You see? There was an interesting point brought forth in a book called The Plain Truth. This was in the 80s, 87. A fundamentalist Christian magazine. We're advised not to view Halley's Comet as a great sign from heaven, even though its entrance into our solar system coincided with the increasing occurrences of earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes and floods. Comets bring change. Hear this now. A butterfly's wings.
Your guest is ready and waiting.
The waving of a wings of a butterfly, according to the string theory, are felt in Europe from America. And so every movement in this ocean of energy affects the whole planet. And so the only system developed that helps us to understand these movements are astrology, the mother of astronomy. If viewed from its value as a system necessary for survival, it's of vital importance that we reinstate this sacred science to its original status. And so we're going to, in about 5 minutes, we have a very talented guest coming with us today. She's actually the co-producer of our show, but she's very multi-talented, also a lifetime student, and we're going to bring on in a few minutes. I want to wrap up this next five minutes with Science and Seasons and help you get a deeper understanding of where we're moving, where we're going to be moving with these teachings in the weeks to come. And so now that we understand that when these energies move into our solar systems, these great planetary bodies, which is a lot happening these days, we have these solar flares, we have the 2012, all these have meaning. See? And so what we want to do is we want to be clear on that, and be clear on the fact that we live in this network of energies, and astrology is the science that shows us how these energies intermingle and penetrate, and how they affect us all. One of the most fantastic revelations that astrological studies lead to is the indisputable connection between science and religion, a connection that has previously been denied by many, many, many religious and scientific authorities. And so what we're going to be doing in the weeks to come is we're going to integrate the teachings of both and show how they actually complement one another, how they actually help us to get a deeper understanding, how we can actually read into, for example, if quantum physics says in the beginning there was light, every particle of light is accounted for. Every particle of light in the scriptures, for example, we hear it said that in the beginning God said, let there be light. Newton said, Isaac Newton, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. The Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. Or what goes around comes around. We say, it's one teaching. You can leave your religious teachings intact, whatever religion you're involved in. We're not trying to change that. But you'll be able to get a deeper understanding. And that is the purpose of this program, Signs and Seasons, to show us how to use the signs and seasons in our lives, to show us how to use the energies in our lives to get a deeper understanding of what we should do at a particular time, and also to understand more about what our destiny is. So we have a guest coming up in 2-3 minutes, and following the guest, we're going to open the lines, and we're going to allow you to call in and get a mini profile of your energy patterns. So we are going to go to break right now and close this first part of today's program, and we'll be back shortly. And we are back. We are back. Thank you very much for tuning into Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabri Amlak. And we are going to bring a very talented guest on to share some vital information with you in this season of resurrection. She has dedicated over 45 years of her life in understanding the metaphysics, the underlying laws and principles of religion and the healing sciences. She began her studies in Jamaica in this lifetime, Canada, and the U.S. She actually began her spiritual training on the beautiful Caribbean island, as I said, of Jamaica at the age of 4 through the lineage of her grandmother, dear sister Amanda. And she then received her certification as a metaphysical Christian minister under the tutelage of a Reverend Trudy Giorno, metaphysician, founder and director of the Church of the Inner Light in Santa Monica, California. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist and a compassionate intuitive, which are also known as empaths. She is a hypnotist. She has created a healing method that is gentle and effortless, bypassing resistance to healing, known as hypnogenesis, healing of Sankofa origin. And she's co-founder of the House of Akebulon, Holistic Alliance, and Watoto of Akebulon. In addition, she has founded a non-profit House of Akebulon, Global Solutions International. She is a writer and creator of beautiful things. Indeed, a very talented sister. Good afternoon, Sister Samara Baruti. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Minister Amlak.
Yes, yes. Good that you...
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
All right. Thank you very, very much. I guess the question people ask you in many instances, why is it that you decided to study mysticism? Why metaphysics? They are certainly not the most popular, or were not the most popular subject years ago. What was it that made you go in that direction?
To put it the simplest way, I really wanted to know and understand God, and I wanted to know how the world works. And mysticism is a means to which I was able to understand what was difficult to know beyond the five senses. And it also was a method that allowed me to have a personal experience of it, a personal experience of God, a personal experience of consciousness, awareness, and ultimate reality. And metaphysics...
Go ahead. I was going to ask you, was there any particular instance that you can remember that triggered stimulated your interest?
Well, yes. If you're familiar with the island of Jamaica, every day was a particular instance, because in Jamaica and many of the Caribbean islands and other parts of the world, the unseen world is real. It exists. Just as you see the sun or you pick maybe a mango from the tree, the unseen world is as real as that reality. And I wanted to understand it beyond the superstitions that didn't quite make sense or was just too scary. And I also wanted to understand some of the things that I was being taught in church, things that Jesus did, and later things that Buddha did, or Muhammad, or Abraham, or Krishna. And so the study of mysticism and metaphysics allowed me to get an understanding that I can be a mystic. I am a mystic. My life is mystical. And there's a reason for the sun rising and for many things that happens on the planet.
So when you mention those two names, when you mention those two words, people kind of get, you know, confused. Could you go a little deeper into what mysticism and metaphysics actually mean from a practical perspective?
Yeah. Well, a mystic is an initiate. And mysticism is the knowledge of, and especially the personal experience of, states of consciousness. For example, levels of being beyond normal human perception, including the experience of and even communion with the Supreme Being. An initiation to spiritual truths and experiences. And it's the pursuit of communion with, identity with, our conscious awareness of an ultimate reality, divinity, spiritual truth, or God, or the goddess, through direct experience, intuition, insight, or instinct.
So if the Master Jesus says something like, the kingdom of heaven is within you, would that be considered a mystical statement?
Yeah, it can be considered a mystical statement. The experience of the kingdom of heaven would be a mystical statement, and metaphysics would then be able to explain what that actually means. The kingdom of heaven is within. And a lot of people look outside for God, for happiness, for satisfaction. And everything we need is within us. The outside is actually a distraction from our divine state of being. And for those of us who use the terminology God, it's a distraction from actually finding God. So everything we need, we come into this world with. We come into the world with the knowledge of all that we need, created in the image and likeness of the Creator, of God.
Do these two aspects, mysticism and metaphysics, do they? How are they related to hypnogenesis? Is that a new word or?
Well, it's a new word in a sense. Hypnogenesis is actually hypnosis, and it's two words together: hypnosis and genesis, the beginning. Hypnosis being a relaxed, focused state of concentration. That is like the simplest definition of hypnosis. And it's the actual state is a little hard to define, but it's the state just before you go to sleep. It's the beta brain. You know, we go to alpha, beta, theta, and beta is that state just before it changes to alpha, and that's really where we are the most open to suggestion. And where we're relaxed, we're calm, we're peaceful. So a relaxed, focused state of concentration is hypnosis. And hypnogenesis, the genesis, means the beginning. So the hypnogenesis healing of Sankofa origin is to go back to a cause, go back to the beginning and retrieve information and knowledge from our own life and experiences that are meaningful to us, that will assist us in moving forward.
So you actually, as a practitioner, you can help people who need to heal certain problems that they may. It's like you have past life regression. Is this related to that? Is it restricted just to this particular incarnation?
No, past life regression is not restricted to this present life or the past that has taken place in this lifetime. It's a way of understanding for ourselves our past life.
Yeah, what I was asking is that with hypnogenesis, if people wanted to go back and heal themselves. Would the healing, would this technique take them? People are now trying to get back in other lifetimes into the healing, into their childhood. What extent does this hypnogenesis work?
Well, hypnogenesis, one of the main focus of hypnogenesis, it allows us to go back and do a transformational shift in consciousness within one session. And so that may take us back to a childhood, because it may be something that took place in this present childhood, but it could also take us back 100 years.
Gotcha. I got you. What in what way does this tie into the House of Okebulon? You know, are these, was that an institution that you established or that you work with to practice these different techniques? Pardon me?
What was your question?
The House of Okebulon, which is one of the institutions that you're working with, does that revolve around the two therapies that we talked about, just metaphysics, hypnogenesis? In what way are they connected? In what way is the House of Kebulon and Sankofa, or the healing of Sankofa?
Yeah. The House of Kebulon Holistic Alliance actually forms a strategic partnership with holistic practitioners, alternative health practitioners and professionals. So we may have masseuse, chiropractors, yoga teachers, various healers that use herbalists, nutritionists that uses traditional and alternative methods to assist someone in integrative healing. So it's a holistic center.
So is that where people would come? Is that where people would come if they wanted to get these therapies, or do you also, you know, travel and have your own practice? Are they interrelated?
We are very, very flexible. I can travel for a group organization. I can do it on the phone, or someone can see me in person. And if someone would like to meet up with some of our other healers, they're also available in different ways as well. And House of Okebulon is holistic, so there are many different methods and that we offer to assist anyone into being whole. And it could be various issues. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It could be mental. It's many issues. It could just be in your career, something you'd like to understand that's going on, not working right for you in your career. We cover the whole spectrum.
Is there any particular reason why you started the House of Kebulon at this particular time? Does it have anything to do with, you know, with the global climate of holistic and new age? What is it that motivated you to do it just now?
Well, although I've been working with these methods for a while, there's a specific. As you mentioned, as you stated earlier, Minister Amlak, a wise man, a wise woman discerns the signs and the seasons. And in 2012 and onward, we're in very, very specific time of energy and frequency. It's a very key time. And it's something that we should take advantage of. My personal reason for doing my healing work in this manner is because of the existing major religions today. Hinduism is the only religion where the sacred feminine occupies a central place in prayer and worship. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you have brought forward and we've worked together on is a wonderful book, The Superior Aspects of Women. And it is an inspiration to me and has inspired me by working on it with you to focus more on the sacred feminine. The book, The Superior Aspects of Women, tribute to feminine nobility, is a powerful new holistic women's empowerment manual. And I have kind of taken the cue from working on that book to bring about an opportunity for men and women to come together and honor the sacred feminine in the world, and that men awaken to and honor the feminine within themselves and the women of the world. And specifically women, I'm calling on all women everywhere to really recognize the power of femininity, the feminine power, the supreme feminine being of which women are a living embodiment on the planet.
Okay, in this last 2 minutes of this program, if listeners want to get in contact with you to study, to learn more about metaphysics, mysticism, hypnogenesis, House of the Caroline, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, easy if they're listening.
And you
to
might
us today,
get your website also.
Well, a good way is to listen into the show. Visit our website here at BBC Radio, and to click on our link, Sign and Seasons. All my information is there. They can also call me at 310-920-4572. Visit the website, Alkebulon Global Solutions, Inc. We are creating holistic communities throughout the world, and we're looking for strategic partnerships with others.
We want to thank you, Sister Samara, for, of course, working with us on BBS Radio. And we want to, and of course, we'll be seeing you again very, very, very soon. We are going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and open our lines for listeners who want to get profiles, mini profiles. And the numbers to call, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, and or 530-413-5011, 530-413-5011. Sister Samara, thank you so very, very, very much.
And thank you so not very much, Minister Amlak.
Right, not just for the program, but for all that I see, have witnessed you contributing to people who have a positive direction, myself and others. Thank you.
Thank you again. I appreciate you, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Yes. She just gave a very wonderful presentation, acquainted us with what she is doing, her background. So when you look at both of the profiles, you will get the sense and the understanding that there's been a lot of preparation going on all these years. In this, I want to close with mentioning the universal message of the resurrected Christ. And, of course, one of the things that we're going to be doing as we move through these weeks and months that follow on BBS, we are going to be introducing you to the Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic Christianity, which actually means the integration of the mysticism of Judaism and Christianity from a much higher, deeper perspective. Awesome. And, of course, they're universal teachings. That's one of our themes. Truth is one, paths are many. So when we say the universal message of the resurrected Christ, we're talking about the resurrection of the Atman, of the monad, of the spiritual essence, the Buddhic quality of Buddhism in all of us across the planet. And that's what this period is now. It's a period in which there is a global resurrection happening. Knowledge of the language of religious symbolism is the key to our having an in-depth understanding of biblical scriptures. One of the greatest benefits derived from this seldom used approach to biblical studies, whether it's the Quran, the Gita, Upanishad, the Tao, is the discovery by using symbolism is the discovery of the practical application of biblical wisdom to ourselves and to the affairs of our lives, our individual lives. For example, in the symbolical analysis of events that culminated in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, whether you see him as being allegorical or historical, the symbolical significance, the main objective of the teaching are to show us how we can increase our understanding of how these events relate to our personal spiritual walk. Whether you belong to a religious institution or not, you are the church. You have the spiritual essence within you. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. When understood from a highest perspective, for example, the life and teachings of Jesus are a graphic portrayal of the experiences that every person encounters in his or her spiritual quest. For example, the 40 days of fasting and prayer. But they symbolize the preparatory stage of cleansing and attunement, which is an absolute necessity for progress to and through the advanced stages of spiritual development on all spiritual paths. As a matter of fact, if you are familiar with the teachings of Catholicism, you'll understand that the 14 stages of the cross, they represent 14 stages in spiritual development. None of these teachings originated with any of these systems. They're universal. They're cosmic. That's why it's a joke to hear people say, oh, this is Jewish mysticism. This is African spirituality. No. It all belongs to the cosmos. We put labels on them. The number to call if you have questions or would like to get a free profile, it's 888-627-6008 here on BBS Radio, or 530-413-5011 to get an analysis of the profile to let you get some clarity on how these systems work and also more clarity on your particular life path. And so, for example, the temptations in the Easter drama, the temptations that Satan used to test the Master Jesus reminds us of the test every individual must pass on his or her path to God realization. The higher you go, the more intense the test. And that's because it brings out more and more of our spiritual essence, each test. Transfiguration, for example, of the body of Jesus into a vessel of radiant spiritual light. This transfiguration represents the transformation from the AM physical organism that we have to the FM to the XM, meaning this physical organism is the key to take us to the higher dimensions. If you buy a new computer. Or you get a new, you want to download a program, but you can't download it because your computer is not up to date. So we have the capacity to tune into higher frequencies of light, particularly now. And because we have this bliss-oriented organism, we have this intense desire for euphoria. And as you know, the days are and the weeks and months are accelerating because we're in a new frequency, so there's even more of a desire for euphoria. Hence, the intense desire across the planet you see, particularly with our young people, for more stimulants, more drugs, more intoxicants, because we have not shown them how to access these higher frequencies of energy by cleansing and upgrading the windows of their physical mental organs. You're listening to Signs and Seasons with the Minister Gabriel Emlet on BBS Radio on this 26th day of March at 5:54, 6 minutes or 2 minutes away from changing over. Okay, so what we need to know in this season, in closing this, we want to understand that when we interpret from a symbolical perspective, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday are two of the most enlightening and inspirational stories in the Christian Bible. Jesus riding in Jerusalem on a donkey, greeted by people with palm branches, represent the victory of you and I in overcoming the stubborn tendencies of the karma personality. The donkey represents our spiritual, stubborn animal nature. So this Palm Sunday, this Sunday coming up, right? What is it that you and I can celebrate? That did someone stop smoking cigarettes? Did they stop losing their temper? Did they stop eating chocolate? Did they stop overeating, period? Did they become more resilient? What is it that when we can put on a piece of palm, if we do that, and say, this is what this represents, this palm, this cross, because palm comes from the top of the palm tree. It is the tallest tree, and it's a crown. So this Sunday, see, what makes it personal to you and I is the symbolical meaning. So when you see someone wearing palm, it should mean that they have overcome some aspect of their carnal emotional mentality. Okay? Palm branches come from extremely tall trees. And we overcome some particular habit that's stopping us from entering into the city of peace, which is Jerusalem, because we've tamed and sublimated some aspect of our lower animal nature. And so that's what we want to celebrate now. We want to celebrate some aspect, some part of our being that's going to resurrect and be as new and radiant and beautiful as this Easter season. And we do hope that in today's program that we help you to do that, that we help you to resurrect some major, some minor aspect of your being, particularly in this particular era that we're moving through. That is the objective of us being here. If you would like to get a personal consultation from myself with regarding to your astrological energies, my number is 404-441-7248, 404-441-7248. Of course, the information is on the website. But we hope that you will tell your friends and associates about the program, those of us who are actually striving to intensify their spiritual awakening and be transformed, like it says, by the renewing of our mind. We also have Pure Aura herbal substance. We're going to be putting those up on the site also, so that you can begin to get more clarity on how we can deal with issues of health in maintaining and gaining a more healthy state of being, because the true resurrection can really only happen. The deeper aspects of our spirituality can only come to being in a vessel that is clean and regenerated. Hence, we're told you cannot pour new wine into old bottles. And so between myself and Sister Samara, we will be able to give you more and more information on how to bring about this renewal. It is a wonderful time that we're moving through. Yes, 2012 is challenging us to tune into the cosmos, to become the global family that Homo sapiens is designed to be. We're supposed to be the light of the world, meaning we have the organism par excellence to taking the higher frequencies of solar energy. It's time that we did it. So thank you very much. See you next week. God bless you. Have a good week and a wonderful Palm Sunday.